6 minutes past 11, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Haven't our two previous people been impressive? The stories that they've told. I'm always in awe of the people that come in and tell the story and try to build a better community. And, of course, that leads to a great segue to two people that we have in the studio who are doing amazing things for Western Sydney and has done particularly Councillor Barry Calvert, the President of Western Sydney Regional Organisation of Councils, for many, many, many years. And with Councillor Barry Calvert is Gwada Leda, the WesRock Regional Waste Coordinator. And on behalf of Spotlight, Darren and myself, thanks for being with us this morning.
It's great to be here. I can't believe we're talking about Easter.
Well, that's right. And I feel full studio now with the COVID relaxation. So it's great to have you both in studio and not have to have one on the phone. So it's good. It's getting really good in New South Wales, as we were talking earlier this morning as well. Gwada. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I was looking forward to the scones after hearing Barry on the show last time.
But. Oh, well, we missed Christmas cake, so I think we're on a bit of a truce of nothing at the moment, but we'll get back to that. But first thing, regional waste coordinator in a regional organisation of councils. What do councils do in delivering waste services, and what are you wanting to do with them all in Western Sydney?
Yep. So I think, you know, the thing about waste services is the better that we do it, the more invisible they get. So, you know, often we don't realise that local government, our councils actually deliver an essential waste service, picking up from the household, trying not to make a big noise, and then, you know, taking them to the appropriate facilities. Not only that, but we're actually trying to improve resource recovery. So as a regional coordinator, we work with the councils to do this collectively, work towards these same goals of increasing recycling and reducing waste to landfill.
I'm sure Jim hears the garbage every morning because you're an early bird, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Do you hear them, or are they nice and quiet?
Well, they come on Fridays. No, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. But I wake up and you hear them anyway because you know it's Friday and there's certain things that happen in and around our area. But it's really interesting, isn't it? Because in Western Sydney in particular, and we're very fortunate to have the President of WesRock in the studio with us, but from your perspective, when you look at the growth and the competing resources in Western Sydney, it must really put pen to paper for you to try and bring solutions. I watched a TV snippet the other day and they were talking about the amount of plastic just in the waterways. You know, with regards to that. So I'm just saying it must keep you up at the moment, the challenge.
Yep, that's right. That's a common problem for challenge for Western Sydney, the growing population. We've got rapid growth in population, rapid housing growth. So how we plan for the related waste growth, you know, is a challenge. We don't have new facilities at the moment to process and receive all this extra waste. We've got a plan for those to meet the waste of the future population, as well as, you know, when we're actually, councils are delivering the underground services, when new areas are being developed, they've got to make adjustments for that, you know, unfinished roads and how do we collect those on the ground, especially with the increasing a number of high-rise buildings in Western Sydney, which is relatively new to some areas, looking at ways to innovate and have new solutions to consolidate the waste rather than having, you know, 100 bins on the street.
And Gwada, one of the interesting things in your decision-making process is that you're trying to go out 10, 15, 20 years to put in place infrastructure, an allied infrastructure, to try and make sure that that's going to be there in real time in 15 years' time. That's a challenge in itself as well.
Yes, there's a lot of, you know, difficulty in planning for the infrastructure. For instance, where do we put the infrastructure? You know, nobody wants it near them, but the further we transport the waste, you know, the greater costs we have to pay financially, as well as the environmental costs that's added to that.
I know we're going to talk a bit about recycling, so I want to just leave that for a bit later and Barry will be able to comment on that. But what are the other things we can do with the waste that can't be recycled? That's kind of like the problematic waste, I would say. Are there like new initiatives coming on board through the councils and through your organisation to help the councils deal with this ever-increasing pile of, I would say, the non-recyclable waste?
Yeah, so there's a recyclable waste that we can put in a yellow bin, and you know that's what we commonly know is recyclable, your milk cartons and milk bottles and things like that. And then there's other waste which is recyclable but through special streams. So for instance, if you take your paint tins and you know, old paint through a community recycling centre, for example, they have special, there are special processes where they can be recycled, but we can't put them in the yellow bin because it'll go into the truck and be compressed and cause, you know,
If I may just jump in, you've educated me just now on recycling and that I need to think about other things that may be still recycling but not the traditional form. So thank you for that. But keep on with what you're discussing about those different streams. Are there others?
Yes. So at community recycling centres, they accept things like batteries, gas bottles, fire extinguishers, those sorts of things. But you can also take, you know, certain things like soft plastics to specialty bins at some supermarkets, recycle bins, and they can get recycled through a special process. But if they go in the yellow bin, they tend to, because they're stringy, they melt around the equipment, they cause jams. So it's problematic in that system.
Great. One of the interesting things, I listen to my grandchildren now, and they're only, you know, 5 and 6 and 7, and they're being well educated at school, in my humble opinion, with regards to waste. Just as a generalisation, do you think people are becoming more focused on trying to do the right thing?
Yes, I think, you know, the school education programs are great. We see councils also do a lot of work to get education into schools, but those kind of lessons stay with people as they get older, so yes. We don't see the impacts right away. But I think there are, you know, waves of students who I think I was one of them, who grew up with this kind of environmental education, and that formed sort of a core value for them. So even in preschools now, education on worm farming and composting, mm-hmm. So that's quite engaging and fun for the kids, and it's actually a very, very effective way to reduce waste, because food waste, when it goes into the landfill, creates you know, methane gases and more gases than other non-organic things.
Can you believe that we're nearly halfway through our interview? I can't believe you've spoken so well, Guido. You've been able to be very informative about what councils are trying to do to build a better community, particularly in Western Sydney. We'll go to a little break, and then we're going to have the boss on. So we're looking forward to having our president to further give us understanding of what's happening in Western Sydney. It's an exciting time, but it's a time where we need people like the president and councils to really show strong leadership, which you're doing at the moment. So
14 past 11, live 90.5 Spotlight.
Alive 90.5.
It's 18 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Really delighted to have in our studios today. It's been fantastic because all our wonderful people have been able to join us this morning. We have at the moment Councillor Barry Colbert, the President of the Western Sydney Regional Organisation of Councils, and Guido Lada for WesRock, the Regional Waste Coordinator. And we've been talking about how waste plays an important part in terms of people's lifestyle, but we're also saying it creates issues and for competing resources. Good morning, Mr. President.
Dr. Jim, how are you?
I'm very well, and it's so lovely for you to join us. Been a busy start to the year?
Very busy, yeah. I thought I was going to have a little rest, but that didn't happen.
So what types of things are keeping you? I mean, you've got a very important role, a very big role for Western Sydney. 2 million people will be in Western Sydney, and it's happening in real time. What's keeping you busy? And we've got set questions we want to talk about, but what's keeping you reasonably busy at the minute? Because your days are very full.
Well as being a councillor of Hawkesbury City Council, yes, which keeps me busy enough, WesRock is now in a different situation to when it started. It began in 1973. Gough Whitlam,
yes,
was an initiative of Gough Whitlam, and in 1973, Western Sydney was a very different place. Mm-hmm. It was basically a suburb of Sydney. Even large town cities like Parramatta were suburbs of Sydney. Now, Penrith, Parramatta, Blacktown are all large cities in their own right. And yes, there's still a role for us to advocate for them, but we're no longer advocating for what you might call the little things. We're advocating now for the big things, all around the airport, transport networks, that sort of thing. Whereas in 73, it was more about, can we get this road fixed and can we get some sewerage in Blacktown and that sort of thing. So it has a new, wider role, and I think Wesrock is now busier and bigger than it's been in the past.
And I think it's dealing with, in my humble opinion, Barry, really complex competing issues because, as you rightly pointed out, in the early 70s, Darren, it was really the food bowl. It was the, you know, the part of the urban fringe and it provided a whole range of things for a whole range of people. But that competing resources and land use and different changes has meant that technology and people have had to change and need to change with regards to the growing population of, I think, 236 or 240 approximately, somewhere in the order of 2 million people will be in just Western Sydney.
So in the 70s, for example, the towns like Blacktown, Penrith were more or less satellites and fairly self-contained. Mm. So they did their own garbage service and they did their own thing, own sanitation service. But now we're all connected. We're all part of a bigger urban profile. So the garbage and waste, for example, is no longer just a local problem, it's a regional problem. And we're gathering, working on ways of, as Glada was saying, to coordinate that across the region, because and I'll use a bit of a pun here that recycling is a very messy thing in terms of who owns it, who owns the garbage service. Now, you know, the council comes and collects the garbage bins, but all the regulations around garbage and waste and recycling come from the state government, not from the councils. So council just carries it out. We don't actually make the policy decisions.
You put the policies into place in the sense of you execute.
Yeah, so then as well as that, the actual trucks that come and collect the garbage are usually private companies.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a private company, you've got a council and a state government all in the same space. And what Wesrock does and is trying to do all the time is to coordinate that. So the recycling and waste becomes a regional thing and all those bodies are brought together, and Gwada here does a great job in doing that. And the general public wouldn't see that. And as Gwada said, the better we do it, the more invisible it becomes. Mm. And you just don't know that it's happening. But I'd like to sing her praises and Wesrock's praises because they've worked on this for many years and they're still working on it.
And so that really, sorry, Darren.
I was just going to say it shows very well, and thank you for that. And a question I was going to put in is about recycling.
Yep.
And in the last few years, we've seen the return on earn come in. What sort of impact is that making? I've started doing it myself at last, and so the message must be getting out there. What's your view on the return on earn?
Well, see, that's a technical one that I might turn to Gwada and say.
Very good.
What do you think, Gwada?
Yep, return on earn has been good because the cleaner the materials, you know, the better we sort them, the better quality products they can become. It was also introduced in as a litter reduction initiative, so it's actually been very effective in reducing litter.
Yes, and when I go, I know I've got to separate my bottles from my plastics and things like that, and there's little knacks to make sure that the things can get scanned. And the one thing I didn't know, if I may, just that the little lunch drink containers can be recycled, but they're the most difficult to just get right and scan and get in. But if you do it right, and for me, that's a lot of money that you actually get back from your six-pack of lunch drinks. So we've definitely followed in our house now.
We were saying just in the break, there's competing forces, and when we look at waste, there's a couple of ways of how you dispose of that. Can you walk us through how you're doing that and the delicate nature of the consequences of those processes?
So what we look at in terms of waste is something called a waste hierarchy. So you can avoid waste in the first place. So, you know, not buying things that you don't need. Then you can reduce, buy less of less things, reuse. Then recycle, what people don't realize, actually comes sort of towards the bottom. So recycling is good. So we can put things in the yellow bin, you know, if we need. You know, we need milk cartons and we need to keep buying them, but we can recycle them. And then, you know, later beyond that, we can recover things through recover energy from waste and landfills. So so all those, there's a gamut of different things that we can do, even at an individual level, for instance, bringing your own cup to get your coffee rather than getting a takeaway coffee cup. So that actually not making the waste in the first place actually has a bigger environmental impact.
Can I ask you a question without notice? And please, it's not to try and do that. Last night I saw on the TV, on the news, Darren, that Coles are actually now just producing plastic forks and plastic plates. They're moving away from any, what I grew up on, cutlery, to those types of things. Your thoughts? And sorry if it's a question without notice, but I'm just interested that that's just been put into the media.
So they are producing plastic.
Yeah, yeah. And Woolworths is thinking of joining after it. I mean, that's a commercial thing, but I thought that was very interesting.
Yep. I guess it depends when you make those buying decisions, what do you plan to do with it? You know, there's also products like compostable, cups and cutlery. And they're great if you're planning to compost it. But if you're planning to put it in your red bin, then it's not necessarily better and could be worse as well. So if you have plastic plates that are recyclable and you plan to clean off the food scraps and recycle it, then, that could be good. But you kind of have to look at it in terms of, you know, where do you want the product to go and what do you plan to do with it?
Okay. Thank you for that. I can't believe we've run out of time. Barry?
Well, can I just put one thing in before we
please
go? I think the single thing that people could do to really help is not put soft plastic bags in the yellow bin. And Guada, you could explain that?
Yep, so putting soft plastics in the yellow bin actually causes equipment in the sorting facility to jam up and causes a lot of delays, operational time is lost, and we lose a lot of recyclables that way. If it's bagged in the first place, it might get pulled out for as contamination. So avoiding that is something that you can do. That's a small thing that can really make a difference. And we will be, doing some promotion around that messaging to keep those soft plastics out of your yellow bin.
Thank you for that very important advice. Councillor Barry Calvert, President of Western Sydney Regional Organisations of Council, and Guada, thank you very much for coming and joining with us and telling our listeners about the importance of being more conscious and serious about waste management. And by doing that, we build a better community. Have a fantastic day, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.